Welcome to Tabletop Tommies. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Phil.
And in today's episode, we're going to be going through the armies of Belgium. Quite similar to the French, the Belgians, aren't they?
On paper, yes. With a few differences.
So on that note, shall we jump straight to the national characteristics, which will be quite familiar?
Some might say very familiar.
Indeed.
So they have three. Starting off, we have communication breakdown, which means that in the first turn of the game, if the first order dice drawn from the cup is one of yours, the enemy can decide that the dice is put back into the cup and a new order die is drawn instead. Second one is forward artillery doctrine, and this means that, like the French, Belgian armies get one free inexperienced or regular artillery unit. This unit can be any anti-tank gun or field artillery piece in the Belgian army list, except for heavy artillery, and this unit is in addition to the number of artillery units normally available. And the third one, hurriedly conscripted reserves. Again, like the French, if the force includes three or more inexperienced infantry sections, it may include a free inexperienced infantry section identical to the cheapest one already purchased. This free section is in addition to units chosen from whatever selector is used.
So, exactly the same as the French rules.
Indeed.
Yeah. And again, because of it, I'm going to lean away from snipers because I don't want to get into that sniper duel where I want the first dice and it's going back in the bag. Mm-hmm. And I think I might lean into the free stuff, but I've built an army list that we'll check out at the end once we've gone through all the units and we'll see how heavily I lend in. Moving on, headquarters. Anything exciting in there, Phil?
No, it is the standard that you'd expect. So from the book, you get an officer, which can be first or second lieutenant at the different experience levels. You can have your captain and major if you wish. You get your medic at regular or vet. You get a forward observer, which will be artillery. You don't get the air observer. And with the recent books, you could obviously add in your chaplain and your intelligence officer as well.
Yeah, so it is very much your standard layout, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to miss the air observer, are they?
Okay, unless you're playing US, no.
Nah.
Yeah, or if you're going super themey and you've got a particular platoon that would have made use of it, for example, but yeah.
So I guess no point lingering around in the headquarters. Let's move on to the infantry.
So infantry squads then, if we start off with the infantry section. So Belgian infantry section consists of 10 men. However, different to the Poles, the basic unit is only 5 men.
Which is very good.
Which is good, yeah. So you're not limiting yourself to having to take that large squad of 10. So it's 5 men at regular. Additional soldiers obviously cost you 10 points. You can have an NCO with a submachine gun. A couple of options, or one option that we didn't see with the French, is you can add a BAR for +5 points.
Very nice. I would recommend that one.
Yep, so the BAR is going to give you an additional shot with that man. You're not going to get, though, the fire and maneuver special rule that the US get, which is normally where we would see BARs being used. Other thing you can take is a VB launcher for +20 points, which we've seen from the French.
Yeah, so the VB is like a light mortar, isn't it? Except instead of 12 to 24 inch range, it's 6 to 18. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, that one man fires a light mortar effectively. Doesn't need a loader, though, the VB, does it?
No, it doesn't. And you can obviously split fire as well because it's the indirect rule. So the rest of the squad can fire at one thing and the VB launcher can fire at something else.
Which is a nice perk. I don't know if it's worth 20 points, though, because it is only penetration one.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it's a 1-inch HE template, yeah. You can add your squad onto bicycles if you want for +1 men. And something which is interesting, you can designate one section only per reinforced platoon to be a grenadier section. So the grenadier section cannot have a BAR or a VB launcher, but you can have up to 3 men with a light mortar for +25 points each. For every light mortar included, another man becomes the loader. And this is very similar, well, it's exactly the same, to be fair, as the Japanese grenadier sections, where you can take up to 3 of their knee mortars, their light mortars.
Yeah. If I'm including regular infantrymen, I think I'm either going to build a 5-man squad with a BAR, so I've got those 2 shots at 30 inches, because the BAR is such a good buy compared to the light machine gun, where you get 4 shots at 36 for 20 points. You can pay just 5 points and have 2 shots at 30 inches. So I'd either do the 5-man squad with a BAR, oh, I'm going to have one of those grenadier squads. I'll probably do that as a 10-man with the 3 light mortars. But if I'm doing that, I think I'm going to lean into smoke if I'm doing triple light mortars. Because every now and then you'll get a good hit, but generally the light mortar isn't anything to write home about. And so I'm going to use it to lay a smoke screen, and that'd be quite cool.
Yeah, fair enough.
What about you?
So in the army list that I've built, which we'll discuss at the end, I have taken the Grenadier section. Yeah.
Nice.
So moving on, you get an inexperienced infantry section, which is base cost of 35 points for 5 men armed with rifles. You can add up to 5 additional soldiers for plus 7 points. You can take an NCO of a submachine gun, and you can take a BAR for 1 person for plus 5 points.
It's pretty nice, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you can get a free BAR if you take 3 of them.
Yes, yeah. And they're only 10 men rather than the 12. So if you're playing as the French, you've got to take the 12-men squads. Which is going to cost you a bit more to get that free squad down the line.
Yeah, it does unfortunately mean that you get less free stuff because of it, but comme ci, comme ça.
Yeah, swings and roundabouts. So the next one, that this is our veteran troops. These are the Chasseurs Ardennais. And they were Belgium's elite force. Their primary role was to defend the Ardennes Forest. These are a base level cost of 78 points for 6 veterans, again, armed with rifles. You can add up to 12 additional soldiers for the usual cost of 13 points. NCO can have a submachine gun. 1 soldier can have a BAR. 1 soldier may have a VB launcher. You can give them anti-tank grenades if you want for plus 2 points per man. You can also upgrade them to tough fighters for plus 1 point per man. And you can mount them on bicycles if you so wish.
Yeah, I really like this squad.
Mm-hmm.
When I was building an army list, I nearly put these guys in because 6 tough fighters with a BAR is pretty good little objective holder there.
Mm-hmm.
If I was doing that, I would never pay for the submachine gun because the extra shot doesn't make much of a difference. And if he's already a tough fighter,
why
pay the extra points?
Absolutely, yeah. You've then got your cavalry troop, which is 65 points for 5 men armed with a cavalry carbine. They are veteran. You can have up to 5 additional soldiers at plus 13 points each. You can have an NCO of a submachine gun. You can make them tough fighters for plus 1 point per man. You can mount them on horses for plus 2 points per man. Or you can mount them on motorcycles and motorcycles with sidecars for plus 5 points per man.
I don't understand why motorcycles are so expensive in bolt action.
It's going to be to do with the transport sort of algorithm, not algorithm. It's going to be to do with how they work out the cost of vehicles, isn't it? And it's
somewhat. I mean, I think you're right, because what is a Jeep? 21 points for a regular Jeep,
mm-hmm.
and 25 for a veteran Jeep. But actually, that carries 3 men, whereas a truck for 39 points regular carries 12. And so the maths doesn't work. Basically, I think when they wrote it, they thought motorbikes were going to be really powerful. But then because they put such strict limitations on that you can't move and shoot and that you can't charge and all the rest of it, they're just a bit pants. And so compared to a horse where you're a tough fighter, amazing.
Yeah. What is worth noting with the cavalry troop is that, similar again to the Japanese, you can make them tough fighters for plus 1 point per man without putting them on horses. So you can basically have a veteran squad who are tough fighters and on foot. And that's just worth noting.
Yeah, it's less important with this one because I think if I'm going to go that route, I'm going to go with the Chasseur with the BAR,
mm-hmm.
just so I've got that long-range plinking as well. But it is a cool little option to have.
The final squad you've got is the Force Publique, and these were the overseas troops that the Belgians had. They're 70 points in experience for 10 men. You can add up to 10 additional soldiers at plus 7 points each, and you can mount them on bicycles. So you can have a nice, massive, fat squad of 20 inexperienced men, if you so wish.
Yeah, so there you go. Complaining that you're 2 men short earlier. Here's an extra 10 for you. Although it's a shame they're not included in your hurriedly conscripted reserves rule, because it'd be nice to get 20 free men.
Yes.
Case of wrong.
Yeah. And that's it. Yep. Fairly, you know, short, sweet, to the point. No frills there. You don't get an engineer squad, so it is worth noting that. But yeah, you've got your regulars, you've got your inexperienced, you've got your veterans, you can make them tough fighters, you can give some of them tank hunters by giving them anti-tank grenades. So yeah.
Yeah, and jumping ahead, we don't have a flamethrower team in the teams either, so there's no flames in this force.
No, it is a flame-free force. No barbecuing going on in Belgium.
No.
In terms of your support weapons, infantry support weapons, it's fairly straightforward. So you get a medium machine gun, you get a heavy machine gun, you get a boys.
Now, that's noteworthy.
That is noteworthy because you don't often see the heavy machine gun, to be fair.
I think it's only the Americans and the Belgians who get the heavy machine gun as a infantry team.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But they're the only two that could spring to mind for me. I mean, you're going to see it as rarely as a medium machine gun team because it's 70 points for plus one pen with only three shots. So if you're paying for it, you're doing it for thematic reasons more than anything, aren't you?
Yeah. You've got your sole anti-tank option, which is your anti-tank rifle. You've got your sniper team as normal. And then your mortars, it's light or medium. You don't get a heavy mortar.
Caldamage.
Not a huge amount to say there. It's all fairly straightforward.
Yeah. Not even any sort of fancy rules like lone snipers or anything. It's just very cut and dry, isn't it?
To the point, yeah. Your artillery, so six options here. You've got your infantry gun, 45 points regular, which is a light howitzer without a gun shield. Or you can take a field gun, which is a light howitzer with a gun shield for 50 points.
That could have been one entry, couldn't it, really?
Yeah. Basically, your infantry gun is the same as your pack howitzers, isn't it, that you see in your airborne forces? Yeah.
Yeah, they could have just added a pay 5 points to upgrade to option, yeah.
Yeah, your medium howitzer, normal points cost, you can add a spotter for plus 10. Mm-hmm. And you get heavy howitzer, again, where you can add a spotter for plus 10.
The medium's the one we're going to see all day long, isn't it? Because that's the one you're going to take as your free gun, I would expect.
Yeah, and it can do work with its plus 3 penetration because of its 3-inch template. So it can threaten, obviously, vehicles. And you're not going to lose that penetration because you're firing a howitzer rather than firing an armor-piercing shot.
Yeah.
Anti-tank gun, you've got one, which is a medium anti-tank gun at 75 points regular. Three-man crew, fairly straightforward. And then you've got your Bofors, 40mm, so a heavy automatic cannon. Similar points to what you see elsewhere. 55 points regular, this one, with three men. Although I believe that was actually changed in the errata and pushed up to four men. So interestingly, with the FAQ, it does clarify that the Bofors is a four-man team, not a three-man team. But it doesn't add the extra 5 points. So you're paying 55 points for a four-man heavy automatic cannon. Whereas if you were to do that, for example, in the British, you're paying 60 points.
Bit of a bargain there. Yeah. Interesting that they don't have a light anti-tank gun.
Yeah, I did think that, actually. To be fair, you would normally see a lot of light anti-tank guns and maybe a medium and a heavy and so on, but to actually just have your medium.
Yeah, like, had they retired all the light anti-tank guns, or did they just go straight, like, when they built a light one, they realized it was so powerful it went straight to a medium?
Mm-hmm. So in terms of the vehicles, if we start with, let's go start with the tanks, we'll follow what's in the book. You've got your FT-17-18.
The best tank in the game.
Best tank in the game, yeah, according to some, which is, you've 35 points for regular, turret-mounted MMG, 7-plus armoured carrier. You can swap out the MMG for a low-velocity light anti-tank gun, and you get the lovely rules of one-man turret and slow, pitifully slow, and the low velocity if you so decide to swap it out.
Yeah. So he goes 6 inches and never more.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do a run so that you don't have to take a test.
True.
But you still only go 6 inches.
Yes. Yeah. Your T-15, which is a Belgian designation for the British-built Vickers Carden Lloyd Mark 6C light tank. This is 60 points. It's a turret-mounted MMG 7-plus armoured carrier with the one-man turret rule.
So again, a test every time he advances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not bad, but it's no FT, is it?
No.
Because it's 25 points more, but and all you gain is the ability to run and 3 inches on the advance.
Yeah, you're losing the slow rule, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tank destroyers, you can have T-13 Tank Hunter, which is a turret-mounted light anti-tank gun with a coaxial automatic rifle, which you don't see very often, if anywhere else, which I thought was
very
interesting.
Rare. Yeah.
That's a 7-plus open-topped vehicle. You can take the Vickers Carden Lloyd Mark 6 47mm FRC tank destroyer, to give it its full title, which is 90 points regular, a forward-facing light anti-tank gun in a open-topped 7-plus armoured carrier.
I don't understand why you'd take the Vickers over the T-13, because for 3 points more, you gain the turret, so you don't have to only shoot forwards, mm-hmm. and you have the option to shoot the automatic rifle.
Yeah.
And so the 3 points, unless like you are desperate for points, I think I'd always take the T-13 over the Vickers.
If you're going to take this particular one in that slot, yeah.
Yeah, if I'm looking for a light anti-tank gun on an Armour 7 tank,
mm-hmm.
that's what I'm going for.
Yeah. That's your lot for tanks.
Well, that was short and sweet, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Armoured cars and recce vehicles, you have your ACG-1. This is the most advanced tank in Belgium in 1940.
So it's a tank?
It's a tank in an armoured car slot.
It's so advanced, it's soft slots.
Yeah, it's 135 points regular. That gets you an 8-plus recce light tank with a turret-mounted light anti-tank gun and a coaxial MMG.
It's not bad. It's if you needed one, you're not overpaying for it.
No. Or you can take the Minerva armoured car, which is 7-plus recce open-topped, 65 points regular, and that is a pintle-mounted forward-facing MMG.
Yeah, but this one actually has wheels, though, doesn't it? So actually, he's quite good because he's got an extra turn and an extra 3 inches on the advance.
Yeah, yeah.
And so actually, if you are looking for something with a machine gun in a recce slot, this is probably the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Still not a lot of shots, though. A lot of these options have very few shots.
Yeah, they do, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's it. So your transports and tows, you can take the FN Tricar T3, which is for 23 points. It is a 6-plus soft skin up to 4-men transport. Or you may have a rear-facing MMG for plus 7 points, losing all transport capacity, which would push it into the armoured car slot.
Which I really like. I like this a lot because 4-man transport, very good. And then also, I don't know why, but only charging you 7 points for that machine gun is an absolute bargain. Mm-hmm. So for 30 points, you've got a little soft-skinned car that can run around shooting people. I'm going to take one of them every time.
Now, I do like the 4-men transport, but normally because I would put a flamethrower in it and a 2-man officer squad.
Yeah.
With this particular army, I'm not sure what I'm going to put into a 4-man transport.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm going to take my model and I'm going to put the machine gun on the back.
Okay.
Because you're right, I don't have anything
that can utilize
anything useful with it. Maybe it's an AT rifle, so you could like get behind the enemy's tanks really quickly.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's not like a one-punch wonder, is it,
the
AT rifle? So I'm not going to do that myself.
No, okay. You can take the Ford Marmon Harrington Armoured Tractor, which is 48 points, 7-plus, up to 4-men again. This can tow, unlike the T3, which is a light, medium, or heavy anti-tank gun, a light or medium howitzer, and a light or heavy anti-aircraft gun.
Not really noteworthy. It's a 50 points for a transport that doesn't really have much purpose.
Yeah. Similarly, the Utility B Tractor, which is the same price, 48 points, regular 7-plus armor tractor, up to 4-men. You can tow all the weapons I've just mentioned. You can downgrade it to the infantry version for minus 10 points, which then gains you the slow rule.
But can the infantry version still tow your guns?
I don't think so. I think the way it's written is either it's going to be a cavalry tractor, which is to obviously tow your armor, or it's an infantry tractor, in which case you don't get any option to tow. You just become a 4-man transport for 38 points, but you can do that with the even cheaper with your T3.
But it doesn't say you lose the ability to tow the guns, does it?
Okay. So why would you?
Because what I'm reading it as is like, I'm reading it as in it's not infantry to carry the infantry, it's to support the infantry. And so it's got the worse engine because it doesn't need to move as quickly. It's the way I was reading it. I don't know anything about this vehicle historically, but because actually, if that is the case for 38 points, I mean, I'm still not going to buy one, but actually, an Armour 7 tow for your gun at 38 points isn't too bad.
Okay.
If that is the way it's written. I mean, rules is written, that does seem to be the way that it's written to me, that it can't still tow the guns.
Yeah, no, fair point. I'm not gonna take it, but fair point.
Took the words out of my mouth, that's exactly what I was about to say. Still not going to take one, but if it was a tank platoon game and you needed to have, not bad.
Okay, but if it's a tank platoon game and you need to tow your artillery, you're going to take the next one, which is a heavy artillery tractor for 15 points regular, which can tow any gun, anti-aircraft gun or howitzer.
Yeah, you could take a mule, couldn't you?
If it's a generic platoon and you're tank platoon is allowing generic platoon units, yes.
So potentially.
Yeah, there's a few ifs there, conditionals.
But more thematically, you could take the tractor for not many more points.
Yeah. You've got your Citroen half track, which is a 7-plus armoured carrier for 5-men, 65 points regular. You can add a pintle-mounted MMG if you want. for plus 15 points.
It's pretty good. Again, it's a really good transport, but it's in the wrong army because I can't think of what five-man unit I'm going to put in it because even those veterans with tough fighters, they're six men to start with.
Yeah, you could put your cavalry troop in. You could take a five-man cavalry troop, give them tough fighters, put them in the little five-man half-track with a pintle MMG.
Yeah, it's just a shame because you don't get, obviously you don't get the BER with the horses. And so you're getting out with one less shot.
Yeah, yeah. You can take the Berliet VUDB carrier, which is what we talked about in the French episodes. This is 69 points, forward-facing light machine gun, 7+ armored carrier, and can take 7 men.
So actually, he's a bit of a bargain because you get one less shot, but you can carry more men.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm going to do that over the Citroen, actually.
Okay. You can take your truck, which is 39 points regular for a 12-man 6+ soft skin truck. You can't add a Pintle MMG onto this.
Yeah. There was no Bodgers in Belgium, obviously. Just no tinkerers to fit one for you.
No. You can take your car for 21 points, 3-man car, same as a Jeep. I think the only thing you'd put in that would be your anti-tank rifle, potentially. Yeah. Yep. And you can take a heavy field car. For 27 points, 6+ soft skin, 6 men. You can make it a command vehicle if you're playing tank war for plus 15 points.
Well, you could do it even if you're not playing tank war, couldn't you? If you just wanted to really bolster your tanks.
Yeah, you could do, yeah, to be fair, yeah.
But not worth it.
Yeah.
Do you lose you don't lose your transport capacity when you make it a command vehicle, or do you?
No, it just gives it that extra bonus in terms of the morale for other vehicles.
So actually, that's not too bad at all.
Yes, depending
on... It's not great, but if you've got a use for it anyway.
Depending on what other vehicles you're taking, and how it works, yeah.
Yeah, if there was a flamethrower, so you could ride the flamethrower up, boosting the tanks as a bit of a barricade in front of the flamethrower transport, that would be really cool. Just a shame there's no flamethrower. Is that everything, Phil? Is that the entire list?
That is indeed the entire list. You get one theatre selector, which is the Battle of Belgium theatre selector. And to be honest, it's pretty much you can take what you'd expect from what we've just read out.
Yeah. You get one extra infantry squad, basically.
It's a theatre selector, yeah. So, you know, you normally get 6, don't you, rather than 5.
Yeah. They do limit you, though, to only taking one cavalry.
They do. Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Which is a bit of a shame, because actually I think the cavalry is one of the big perks of the Belgian list.
Yeah, potentially, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah. So how would you build a list like this one then, Phil?
So in true Blue Peter fashion, here's one I made earlier for those of you who are not getting the Blue Peter reference. It's 14 dice, 1,000 points, single platoon. I've gone an inexperienced officer plus 1. I've gone for a grenadier section, 8-man regular with 3 light mortars.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I've gone for 3 inexperienced 10-man full strength sections with a BAR, which gives me my extra 3 inexperienced section. And I've got a 10-man veteran chasseur Ardennais section.
A 10-man?
A 10-man, yeah. All of whom are tough fighters. And they have anti-tank grenades for the bargain price of 160 points.
Oh, that's a big price, isn't it?
It is pricey. Yep, I agree.
Did they have a BAR, did you say?
No.
So you paid for the AT grenades, but you didn't pay for the BAR?
Correct.
That's crazy. That's exactly the opposite of what I would do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can be like that sometimes. I've got a medium mortar, regular with a spotter. I've got a regular sniper. I've got a veteran boys anti-tank rifle. I've got my regular medium howitzer with a spotter, plus my free medium howitzer with a spotter.
Your AT rifle, did you say that was vet?
That's veteran, yeah.
Yeah, that's the way to go, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, just to make it a little bit more survivable, yeah.
Because he's going to get sniped.
Yeah.
Worth it every time.
Yeah, yeah. I've got no tanks.
Ooh.
I've got an armored car, which is the ACG1, and that's the 135 points regular tracked recce turret mounted light anti-tank gun coaxial MMG.
Not bad.
And I've got a 12-man truck regular.
What do you put in your truck? The veterans?
I'm putting in my 10-man veterans with my officer, potentially, or my officer could hang out at the back to support the howitzers. So the idea would be that I've got my 4 inexperienced squads to push up. I've got my 3 sources of HE to start lobbing some shells out. I've got my truck to deliver my veterans where they are needed. 10-man, big chunky squad, tough fighters, plus anti-tank grenades. So they hopefully will push away enemy armor. And then I've got my ACG1 to with my light anti-tank gun to tackle any other armor.
Yeah, it's a list that's going to require a bit of finesse to play, I think, this one.
It is, but I wouldn't be choosing the Belgians unless I was confident in my ability to finesse it.
Yeah. The problem with this list is I don't think it does anything that the other ones, that other nations can't do, and potentially better.
No, and that's why I, you know, took the Grenadier section, for example, and took the BARs. Now, if I wanted to take Grenadier sections, I might play the Japanese, for example. If I wanted to, you know, lean into the BARs, I might play the Americans. And if I wanted to lean into that free, inexperienced squad and free howitzer, I might play the French. So absolutely, I think there are other nations that do all of these things better. However, if I did have to play the Belgians, this would be where I would go.
Interesting. And your officer was inexperienced, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So he's a bit of a liability.
Yeah, but I gave him an extra man for that reason.
Yeah, it is. It's just that this is very much sort of your general skirmish list, isn't it? Where you're playing the mission rather than sort of any specific strategy, I imagine.
Yeah, because, I mean, I could have gone the other way and ignored the inexperienced sections and, you know, looked at the cavalry, for example, but other nations do it better.
Yeah. Well, I lent in. So when I built the list, I actually did dual platoon.
Okay.
I originally went to do single platoon, but I actually ran out of slots before I ran out of points.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've done is, and this is crazy, so prepare yourself mentally for this. I've paid for a veteran first lieutenant.
Okay.
Because I'm going to give him two buddies.
Yeah.
I'm also going to give him an intelligence officer.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put them all on horses.
Okay.
Because then my two troop choices are two squads of horses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently playing with the points. I'm aiming for 8 horses per squad.
Yeah.
Then in my second platoon, I'm taking just an inexperienced second lieutenant with a buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to take the 3 inexperienced infantry sections. And to max out on my 3 points, I'm also going to take a BAR and an SMG.
Okay.
So that's all my infantry done. Very much the idea is that those cavalry are going to charge forward.
Yeah.
As soon as I'm within charge range, I'm going to try and use the intel officer to snap to the two squads to rush in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all my infantry. I've then taken 2 anti-tank rifles, 1 in each platoon, at veteran. Because I just need something to pin vehicles, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I then obviously took the 3 medium howitzer with a spotter.
Yeah.
And then in each platoon, paid for an additional howitzer with a spotter.
Yeah.
So I've got the perfect complement of the horses, triple howitzer, double horses.
Yeah.
And that doesn't leave me a lot of points left.
No.
So I've taken 1 of the tri-cars.
Okay.
With the rear facing MMG as an armored car. And I took an FT-17. And again, they're just laying down suppressant fire. And basically the idea of this army is all the units that are on horses are planning to pin things down.
Yeah.
And then the horses are going to rush forward and just get right in your face. And then I think it's going to be a classic death or glory charge, basically.
Yeah, and it's sort of similar to mine in terms of, but obviously limiting myself to a single platoon, I'm not able to double up on a howitzer, but it's looking at having those 3 HE options with the inexperienced squads advancing up under that cover. And then I've got the Chasseur Ardennais in the truck to put where they need to, and being 10-man veteran tough fighters, they're not going to easily get knocked off an objective, for example, or knocked out of a part of the battlefield. And then with the anti-tank grenades, they can, if anyone gets too close, they can charge in if they need to.
Yeah, I thought about putting the chasseurs in. I was going to go 2 cavalry, 3 chasseur, but so I've got 2 versions basically. I've got this version where I'm leaning into getting my free squad, and then there's that version where I'm very vet heavy. And originally, I did try to do it to a single platoon, as I say, but where I had, instead of the second howitzer, I had the medium mortar, I took a sniper, and I did just run out of, I ran out of things to spare my points on. And I started looking at the tanks, but I'd rather use the high explosives and the pins from the AT rifles to take out tanks. A light anti-tank gun for 135 points, I think, isn't a great investment generally. I do like that yours is recce, though. That is a good way to go if you are going to go that way.
Yeah, I mean, when I've played around with French platoons, I've taken the Panhard, which is a similar principle in terms of it's your armoured car, but actually that's the thing doing the work. That's got the light anti-tank gun and so on. So rather than looking at your tank options, I'm looking to have my anti-armour in my armoured car slot.
Yeah, my plan's just to ignore the tank, so...
Yeah, true.
If it comes to it, my horses will charge in.
Yeah.
Or I'll howitz them. one of those things. Because generally, what I find is tanks are a bit like snipers, where when you bring a tank, you end up just fighting against the tank.
Yeah, true.
And so you've ended up just basically having two battles. You've got an 850-point battle and a 150-point battle happening on the side.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So I'd say not a bad army, to be honest, overall. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not rushing out to get it, but if for whatever reason I want to play a minor nation and I'm, you know, have an affinity with Belgium, it's not terrible. You know, it's better than Norway.
Yeah, and actually, compared to the French, it's... There are reasons to play the Belgians over the French, like getting the BERs instead of the VBs in the inexperienced squads. And that little tricar, I actually think, because I've got some French, I'm actually thinking about using them as a bit of a proxy Belgian army to try it out, because I actually think the Belgians might be more my style.
Okay.
Just because, as I said, those two equipment options just make it slightly different, don't they?
What is interesting is Warlord have a big range of Belgians compared to some of the other minor nations. So you can basically get, you know, all of the troop options, including you know, bespoke Chasseur Ardennais squads. You can get both your MMG and your HMG. Mm-hmm. You can get your infantry gun without the gun shield. You can get it with the gun shield. You've got your mortar, you've got your anti-tank gun, and you've got some of the tanks as well. So there's quite a lot of good models for the Belgians that Warlord produce.
Yeah, they are. It's a shame they don't have a heavy mortar. That's the only thing I'd say.
I think we've said this before, yeah. And I think we'll keep saying this when we look at the minor nations. Yeah, but there are some few 3D printed options as well for the Belgians. Esquisse miniatures do arrange. So yeah, if you are taken by them, you absolutely can find both metal and printed options out there.
A lot of the infantry are wearing Adrian helmets, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. But then I was thinking about this: could you use the new French plastics from Warlords to represent the Belgians? And I don't think
that was my exact
depending
thought,
on
yeah.
how depending on how historic you want to be. Looking at the way that they're represented with the Belgian range on the Warlord website, they're not wearing the trench coats in the way that the French are and the way we think about early war French forces.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But I wonder if there's a kit bash option if you were really keen to go plastic though, where you could get the helmets out of the French kit and then kitbash them with maybe Brits or something similar where they're not wearing the great coats.
It's going to be about the webbing, isn't it, as well?
Oh, yeah, you can't forget about the webbing.
Yeah, because you can get the Chasseur Ardennais squads by using the berets that are in the Chasseur berets from the French box set as well.
So there is a bit of a kitbash opportunity here. I wonder if the Belgians did issue great coats, because you could do a sort of like a winter Belgian force during the Phony War.
Yeah, but they didn't fight in the Phony War.
Well, they didn't fight, but you could just put your army down in posture, couldn't you?
Okay.
Were the French fighting in greatcoats when the Germans invaded?
Well, it was September, wasn't it? September onwards.
So it's going to be quite warm.
Yeah, but then we always see them in greatcoats.
But I'm wondering if... Because, yeah, it's probably a bit warm for the Great Court, isn't it, in September?
Depends which part of France you're in.
Well, the Ardennes Forest.
Touché. What I did find interesting was that the Belgians invaded on D-Day with the Canadians. So they returned to European soil via the Canadians on D-Day, via Juno Beach.
That is interesting.
That is, yeah, fun fact there.
So were they an army in exile in Britain until then?
Yeah, but not in the way that the French were. You didn't have you didn't have sort of a Belgian, you know, commando force in the way that you had a French commando force being built up over time and so on. But yeah, they very much went, they aligned themselves with the Canadians rather than with the British or the French, because there was a bit of a political shenanigans going on at the start of the war as to whether or not Britain was going to support Belgium and France was going to support Belgium in opposition to Germany before Germany invaded Belgium. So in the Warlord book, it says, in 1944, the Free Belgian Forces Brigade landed in Normandy with the Canadians and fought their way to the liberation of their homeland.
Well, so are you going to rush out and buy some Belgians?
I mean, the models look cool, don't get me wrong. And if I wanted to play a minor nation who were allies, I might consider it. I think there are some options there, to be fair. But I think you need to have a reason to play the Belgians. You're not going to pick up the France and Allied book and go, I really want to play the Belgians based on the units and the options available to you.
I'm actually thinking about playing them now.
Is that in the same way that you're also thinking about playing the Norwegians?
No, the Norwegians are far more seriously. Like, I've already started my Norwegian force, obviously.
Obviously, skis everywhere.
But because I've already got my French force, I am genuinely thinking about shifting to France or Belgium. And so I think I'm going to try proxy my French as Belgians because, as I said, just having access to the BARs and the cheaper MG car, it might open some options up for me. So I think I'm going to try them out.
Okay. As ever, thank you for listening. Please do like, share, and subscribe. And if you'd play Belgians, let us know. Drop us a message or put a comment on the post on Facebook when we release the episode.
And if you're about to start, please do use one of our affiliate links to get a good price on your Belgians and also support the podcast. Thank you for listening. Ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta for now.